He said tomorrow was the day that he quit, but never followed through with his decisions. He would go to church like a hypocrite, and when he hit the bottom, he'd say, I repent. Mama called the doctors, but they couldn't help. Daddy had to talk about the usage, though. Oh, you see, the internet, its heart won't melt when it sends a couple billion souls to hell. There's no hope for me, no hope for me. I'm a sinner, am I truly safe? Feel it choking me, it's choking me. Death is nearer than a razor blade, razor blade.
Well, all right, Jimmy, how is it going? How are you?
Doing well, man. How are you? It's a pleasure to be here.
I'm great. Man, the pleasure is all mine. So, like, I don't know how you feel about Christian music. We'll dive into this later. But for me, a lot of the time, like, stuff is, like, there's good stuff. But at the same time, it feels like sometimes it's hard to find artists who don't feel like they fit into, like, a cookie cutter kind of thing, or who are even, like, real or authentic, or just making music that I like. So maybe I'm just like really, a hard person to please musically, but I ran into your music a little bit ago and man, I have been loving it. Like, I genuinely think that you're one of those artists who will blow. It was like how I saw NF in concert when he was like nobody. So like, I saw him when he was like opening for a different rapper and nobody knew who he was. And it was in that moment that I was like, oh, this dude, it doesn't matter what industry he's in, he's going to go far. And I feel like the same thing for you. So I'm pumped to get your music out there because I'm super passionate about like supporting and expanding like Christian artists who I think are like really doing great stuff. But for those who don't know who you are, can you just give a little background as to who you are, what you do and what you're all about?
Yeah, for sure. I wanted to thank you too, because, you know, I'm like trying to hold down a smile and I'm like, oh, you know, because it's like, this all is new. Like last year I had like 170 listeners or something. So like this whole
That's
year,
crazy.
It's like I hit over 100,000 now. And it's like, wow. It's like, you're like, your compliments, I'm just like, I'm trying not to smile, like, but it means a lot to me, you know.
It makes sense though, because genuinely, like, I'm not just saying this to be nice because you're on the podcast. It's like, genuinely, I was hoping that you would say yes for an interview because I think your music is actually like insanely good. And I think it's only a matter of time before like you blow up and people are like, oh, this dude is really good at making music. So,
Lord willing. Yeah, man. So I guess to start off, you know, I'm a artist, you know, I've been doing music for almost 9 years at this point. So I've just been writing, you know, recording the past like 5 or so years, but mainly writing, playing live, you know, on the street, you know, a lot of times the past 9 years, and just essentially got into music, you know, when I heard an Ed Sheeran song, I was like, this is cool. I was like, I want to learn this. Mm. And it was called Icy Fire. And then my brother, I did everything my brother did. So he learned that song. I was like, oh, I want to learn that, you know, and got into music, started singing then, started writing that same day. I've written, you know, hundreds of songs, but you know, it's just now that it's starting to take off, and never wanted to produce my music, but I started getting to realizing last year, or at the beginning of this year, actually, that people were saying, oh, your music's like folk music, Christian folk, indie folk. And I was like, okay, you know, I always wanted to be like a pop star, like Ed Sheeran, but you know, I kind of gave that up years ago. Cause I was like, man, I feel like God could use his gifts to change people's lives. And I don't want to be selfish in that way, and the only way that I want to be selfish in is like a way that's technically not selfish, because I want to make money and provide for my family. Yeah. And the scripture says to provide for your family, so I'm like, okay, you know, that's not selfish if I'm just trying to do that first. And then God's blessed me with it becoming almost a ministry to people. Mm. And I get messages often that people are like, wow, you know, your music has changed my life, and I gave my life to the Lord, or I gave my life back to the Lord because of your music. And yeah, so I guess who I am is just, you know, someone who's just following the Lord, and I'm not perfect. You know, I'm a hypocrite like everyone else, but you know, I just enjoy making music, and God just used that, and somehow I just happened to blow up. I don't know, like, exactly. I just put some videos out and it just happened. So thankful to be here.
Yeah, well, I'm thankful you're here. And yeah, that heart behind your music totally makes sense. And I think that's why it clicks with a lot of people. And for you, I'm always curious, because I find that especially some of the topics that you're willing to tackle, a lot of people, even in the Christian music scene, like, wouldn't want to dive into that really specifically, which we'll dive into later. But for you, do you feel a similar thing that I feel, where sometimes it feels like Christian music, whatever that term even means, can just feel almost kind of surface level, and that there is like this deep longing for people to have something a little bit deeper? Do you find that that's something that you run into or feel sometimes, or do you think I'm totally crazy and that most of that stuff isn't like that at all?
I would say you're totally crazy and you're alone in that. So next question. No, I'm just kidding. No, I actually, you know, I've struggled with that for years, or at least I thought. I was like, man, this is, to me, this music is so boring. And you know, not to diss any specific Christian artists out there, you know, but, you know, labels are looking for to make money in the Christian industry, you know. Yeah. And I've talked to many labels, you know, already, and hopefully they don't listen to this, but, you know, it's just, they're the nicest people in the world. And I wouldn't say anything against them in that aspect, but they are looking for an artist to make money off of. And, you know, just in the Christian scene, it's the same thing. It's an industry. It's not, it can't really be a ministry if you're out to make money with it, you know. And in a way it can, like, God's used it to bless people, you know, people like 10th Avenue North and just a lot of other bands God's used. Now I have like a tickle in my throat. It's funny. But I was like, man, this is so, like, I wish I had some good Christian music to listen to. And, you know, I would, at least anyone, I would like not expect me to have that kind of music, but I just made music that of real struggles. There's like one fruit fly in a room that's flying around right in my eyeball. So, but I like just feel like I've been through a lot, you know, in my times of, you know, and I feel like it's a normal almost for nowadays with all these people that grow up Christian homes, and they, this is how I grew up at least. You grow up in a Christian home, you go through all these struggles, you struggle with pornography, you struggle with addiction, you struggle with anxiety, depression, might be because of your porn addiction, but you go through all these things, and you know, no one's talking about it. And the Christian radio is just, oh, God is good, and, you know, praise God, and you know, getting down, and got to lift you up, and like, what does it even mean? As a guy especially, I'm like, you know, what does that mean? You know, I'm like, okay. As a woman, it's like, oh, yeah, you know. But women are, God designed women different. Guys are just like, whatever. And, you know, you don't connect to that stuff. You just rather go listen to some, like, Zach Bryan or something, you know. But, you know, it's, there's not a lot of that kind of music out there, you know, because 99%, no, I'm not going to say that. Probably, like, over half of the population that listens to Christian music are, like, way more women, you know. Mm-hmm. And guys can't relate to it. So I just realized, when it comes down to it, I just realized I want to be real and just let people, you know, hear the music. Sometimes I struggle to get across my point, what I'm saying, but I've been through all these things, and God's set me free from them. So I want people to see that. And people will say, why are you so, how are you so bold and all this stuff? And I don't really understand that, because God set me free. So I just share what he's done in my life. Yeah. And I'm like, well, you know, he set me free from pornography. Let me write about it. Yeah. You know, and then people are like, wow, I relate to this. How do you, so, you know, I'm like, well, God set me free, and I'm glad that he's using it in your lives. And people have told me they've stopped struggling because of that song, you know, Razor Blade or whatever. And it's like, okay, you know, God gave me a gift, and I don't see that, you know, I don't feel this emotional, oh, God speaking to me, you know, speaking myself in tongues and, you know, whatever. Not to get on that topic, but anyway, it's just this thing. It's like, I'm going to use it. I'm going to go for it, because I stand upon the rock of Christ, and if you try to tear me down, you can't. And if you tear me down, then it won't be in the spiritual sense, it'll be in the physical sense. So
yeah, no, that's awesome. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Even when you talk about the music industry, like, you're spot on that it is, at the end of the day, an industry that needs to make money. And so the easiest way to do that and the safest way is to kind of have a formula as to what you're looking for and to go for the larger demographic. And when it comes to music that is spiritual towards Jesus, it often leans towards women, which then makes men, right, be like, this music's dumb. It's all like Jesus is my boyfriend kind of songs. And you're like, this is silly. I can't relate to this. And so I think that's why it's even for me that, like, you connect is because, and then you're willing to talk about issues that I think labels would maybe be like, I don't know if we want to talk about that, Jimmy. This isn't good for our image or our brand. And so I kind of want to dive right into that. And so to dive into your music, you put this song out recently, Hypocrite. And I actually think this is the first song that I kind of saw. I saw like a clip of it and I was like, whoa, what is this? And this song is really great, but it's also really interesting. It's really raw and real, because in it you're just essentially being pretty honest about struggles with porn and like living a life in sin, and then being like, I'm not being authentic about it, and what do I do, and I'm like a hypocrite. And so for you in writing this song, what to you inspired this song, and why did you feel like, I don't know, because a lot of people would be hesitant, I think, to publicly put out a song like this, or even anything like this, just to be this raw and honest. So why would you release something this raw and honest, and what inspired it for you?
This song was one of those songs I wrote recently and just kind of sat down and wrote it, you know. And it's a song talking about my past struggle with pornography, because, you know, I don't struggle with that anymore, and God has set me free from that. But it's also one of those songs that's like, well, you know, I've been like with my song Save Your Tears and all those things kind of blowing up, you know, I've been the voice of the Christian people against the world, against the forces of evil, but I have fallen far below the seat I sit, because I'm a Christian who's a hypocrite. You know, and just, you know, in those ways of not just pornography, but in, you know, like spending too much time on your phone, or or, you know, scrolling and getting lazy. You know, that's a major sin. It's not just, you know, laziness, I think, leads to like pornography, you know. I mean, if you trace back the steps, a lot of times it's because you're lazy at the start. So I mean, things like that and other sins, you know, that are constantly you're fighting against, or, you know, lusts of the flesh, because we have all these apps nowadays accessible, and back in the days they didn't have that, you know. You just you know, I wouldn't be sitting here right now if we didn't have that, you know. So it's all these good things that have been used to proclaim the gospel to further nations, but it's also a curse in a way, because it's can be easier to access things that can cause you to sin. So you know, I think I just wrote the song in a way about, you know, my past with pornography, but also with, you know, currently now I'm like, man, I don't want to get distracted on my phone. I want to spend time with my wife. I want to be there for her more. I want to be there for my other family. You know, I want to get work done. Just be the man that God's called me to be. And it's so hard when you have one of these devices. So you just really have to be, you know, disciplined, but you have to walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that's, man, it's easier said than done, but it's not about working towards that. Oh, I just need to work. It's just simply understanding that that's the truth, and to walk in that, you know. Haven't always been a perfect example, but God won't ever give me more than I can handle. There was a time when I screamed in my car, cause it left this condemnation on. Your tears, because no one
I think that's why your music is authentic and it clicks with people, is because you're willing to be real about that stuff and say things that everybody knows, but it feels like sometimes people aren't saying. And that song, I don't know, I think it's really great the way that you crafted it together. It is insanely catchy. And so, way to go. If it makes you feel better, I would way rather listen to Hypocrite than an Ed Sheeran song. So.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's so good. I think it's incredible. And you sing about this stuff a lot. Like, you're pretty honest and raw about the things that you've been through or going through. And another song that's kind of like that, as you mentioned, is Save Your Tears. And again, in the song, you're kind of chatting about how you're known for being like this Christian guy, but then you're falling short and you're not exactly living into the life that you feel like you've been called to. And so for Save Your Tears, what inspired that song for you? And what, like, for those who maybe don't know, in the chorus, when you're talking about saving the tears for when the sun is shining, what does that mean for you? Yeah. What inspired that one?
Yeah. I think that one is, it's a similar kind of feel to the other one. It's just as Hypocrite. And it's, you know, basically, I think at that time I was, you know, spending too much time with social media. It's this circle of, like, you know, like, constantly reminding yourself, oh, I cannot, you know, because I have to post, you know, to, like, get my music out there and stuff. And if I hadn't done that, then people wouldn't have seen it. But also, in doing so, if you lack any self-control, then you're going to just get caught into it. So I was like, man, I don't want my wife is begging me to let it go. You know, what is that? One of the lines in it, but it's just like, and she always jokes at me. Like, she's like, oh, let it go. I'm like, but, you know, that one talks about save your tears. Don't, like, save them, you know, don't, it's basically talking about, like, don't look at your past and see your sins and be like, oh, I'm so ashamed and depressed and, you know, feel condemned. Like, there is condemnation when you sin, but you shouldn't remain in that condemnation for long. Get up out of it and go remind yourself and go to people who will remind you who you are in the Lord, that you are set free from sin, you know. And so it talks about Romans 6, those who are crucified with Christ are dead and alive in him again. And he says, how can ye that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So how can you keep going living in sin? How can you keep going, you know, and sinning, you know? So we're free from that. And then what's the line? Save your tears for when the sun is shining. It says save your tears until Christ is back, you know, Jesus, the sun. So when he comes back, because he will dry them, there's no more crying. We're all dying here. And people always said, we're all dying here. You're just speaking curses over yourself. I don't know if you saw any of those comments, but, and I'm like, no, we're all dying on this earth. You know, we're all dying. You know, it doesn't matter to live. So let's live this life to Christ. That's the point of that line. And then it says, walk away. Now you've been born again. No more sin. He's our friend. It's forever and it never ends. So just walking in freedom, you know, walk away from sin. You don't have to remain in it because you're born again, because you're free from it. So just kind of one of those reminders, like, you are free, and we just step out in that freedom, because the world is surrounded in darkness, and we are the light, and we can walk in that freedom. We have to be examples to the world.
Well, I could shine to be somebody I'm not. You might think that has crucified me with shame, he bore.
it's funny because same thing with me in social media. If I didn't have a podcast or things like that, I would have zero presence on the internet. And I don't know, but it's so interesting because you're like, I have to, so to get the music out, which is true, because the only way that I saw it was through my like podcast social media. And that's how I discovered your music. And so it's this weird like tension of being like, I don't want to be online, but I also have to be online at the same time, and like trying to figure out what that looks like in a healthy balance. I've seen this in your comment sections, and you post about it, about like comments people leave. And it's always funny the different dichotomy of comments you get, where you either get people who are like, this guy's a clown kind of Christian, what is he talking about? Or you get the other people who are like, man, this song would be great if it wasn't Christian. When you're online, and you're like dealing with those things, of people either being like, dude, you should like chill with the Jesus stuff, or people being like, ah, you're just a silly Christian and you don't actually know what you're talking about, whether it's people who aren't Christian or people who are Christian who think like, I don't know, that whatever you're saying is silly. How do you kind of deal with that and manage that? And how do you, because it seems like you actually kind of embrace it to some degree, because you don't shy away from it. Like, you will post specific posts being like, hey, someone left this comment on this song, this is what they think. So how do you kind of deal with that, and what keeps you going? Because stuff like that, it can seem like such a small thing. Like, it's like, oh, that's not like a big deal, someone posting a comment. But at the same time, that stuff can get into your head for like different reasons, whether it's someone being like, hey, the way that you're, and you want to be sensitive to that too, because to some degree, like, if I'm off base on how I'm following Jesus, like, I'd want to know. But I also know, as someone who posts stuff in like the Christian field, that there's a lot of people who like make it their mission to, I don't know, make you look the way they think you should look, which is interesting to deal with. And then at the same time, people being like, dude, you're a joke, drop the Jesus thing altogether. How do you deal with that? And does that stuff really affect you at all? Or are you just like, it doesn't bother me? What is that like for you?
Yeah, good question again. A lot of times, you know, I get comments like that. And the ones that are from unbelievers, I don't think it affects me really at all. Mm. You know, I see it and I'm like, okay, well, you know, they don't know the truth. So, yeah. You know, and I'm here trying to share the truth. And I do have a lot of unbelievers who have messaged me and said, I don't listen to your, you know, I don't like religious stuff, but, you know, I'm not religious, but your music is really good. Mm. And I just feel good listening to it. And I'm like, okay, that's great. Yeah. And maybe the words and lyrics will eventually penetrate their heart, that God can reach them and soften their hearts so the Holy Spirit can work on them. And that would be awesome. You know, I had some guy who told me, you know, that he rejected God his whole life. He had his grandmother or something happened where they got in the hospital and they died, I think, or something. And it was really sad. And he was talking about how he, you know, was still rejecting God and hardened his heart even further against God. And he was put in a hospital, and he had all these health problems and all this stuff, apparently. And he was just at his worst. But then he was just like, no, I still reject God. And then he said he was scrolling on Instagram and came across my song Razorblade. And then he just broke down and gave his life to the Lord.
Apparently. Man, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's just like things like that. You never know when you're going to affect those people. So it might not be one of these, but it might be another one. So basically, I just see it as, you know, non-Christians, it doesn't really affect me. But if it's, you know, Christian people are saying, you know, you're wrong in this, or, you know, other stuff. Like one example recently was, I posted a video about abortion and how the evils of abortion, and some lady messaged me, and she said she was a Christian and said, you know, I deal with these every day, you know, I'm a nurse, blah, blah, blah. And I was trying to look at her perspective, and she was like, I don't think you're blah, blah, blah saying this right, and all this stuff. And you need to, because there's different ways that people might need to make an abortion or stuff. And I understand where she was coming from, but it kind of hurt, because I was like, man, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't want to be wrong about this, but it's also like, man, it is murder, you know, and it's even in the worst situation where the mother might be dying, or, you know, you might have to make a hard decision, but also it's, that's not 99% of abortions, you know, or, you know, they're just because people are just don't want them, you know? And anyway, it's just like navigating between those comments. Cause, and I'll talk to my wife about it. You know, she's the one who's like, she's like, what are they saying? That's stupid. Or like, you know, she'll listen to what I'm saying and, you know, give me advice, or I'll just get it off my chest and we'll talk about it in the open. It's always good to go back to the word of God too, because people will say, you know, have you ever heard of deliverance and stuff like that? I don't know what you think about that, but there's just like different comments. I'm like, okay, well, you know, scripture always comes through on those weird comments, and just, you know, you're doing the right thing. Or I actually I've deleted a video before because it was like a little bit like, you know, aggressive towards a certain, it was like K-Love or something like that. And I was like, K-Love, you know, I was like, if you're not into K-Love's boring music or something like that. And she were like, no need to up yourself to degrade other people or something like that. And I was like, okay, yeah, maybe that's, but like things like that, I'm open to like criticism all the time. If you can message me, and I'll probably read it, you know, depending on, I try to read messages. I haven't been able to respond to everyone, but
yeah. Well, that makes sense. And I think your heart posture towards it is great and true, where it's like, for non-Christians, it's like, sweet, they're not going to get what I'm doing. And my hope is that one day they do. And then for Christians, it's like, okay, like I could be wrong. And sometimes I am, and to check like the people who actually know you. And then also with like the word of God, and be like, am I off base? Cause that'll let me know. And then sometimes to have the comments to be like, I just don't think I am. And that's okay that we don't agree on this issue. I don't think I'm going to be convinced right now. Another song, just to dive back into them, that you wrote that I really love is Forest. And it kind of talks about, it seems like it's talking about facing your own demons and coming to terms with them, and then having Christ kind of show up in it. And the song, even just the way the song is made, is so cool. The like, it's got like this airiness to it that's hard to describe, that just, it's such a cool vibe that's different than other songs that you make, and it's really unique and cool. But for that song Forest, what inspired that song for you, and what does the image of the forest mean to you in that song?
Forest was one of the songs that, you know, I was scrolling on my computer, you know, 8 months ago, and I was like, whoa, this is an old song I found, you know, like, let me try to record this. And I was like, these lyrics don't make sense. They sound like I'm doing it, you know, and I had to go through and re-record stuff and try to make sense of it. And then I kind of wrote it about, you know, say what you want to about me, but stay where I'm at when you're drowning. That line is to the devil, you know, because, you know, we're going to be walking in this world and he's going to whisper lies in our ears and things like that, but you know, I'm gonna stand firm on Christ, and it's just talking about walking through the forest. You know, I was all alone walking through the forest, heard a branch snap, turn around, all I saw was you standing there trying to scare me, devil, but nothing's gonna make me join your rebel. And it just talks about, I don't want to see you fall, my dear, turn from the father of lies, my dear, you know, to your fellow believers in Christ, walk the straight road deep in the forest. And listen real close when I sing the chorus. And then, you know, it's like we're walking on the straight and narrow to Christ and to God. And Satan's going to be there through the forest, you know, and he's going to whisper stuff and try to follow us and hold us up and pull us back. But, you know, the straight and narrow leads to Christ. So we're going to have him. And what's the last line? I know who is in the forest. He will give you rest. There's peace deep in the forest, you know, at the end, my heart beats out of my chest. So my heart beats for that, you know, moment with Christ when we're all united with him. So it's just kind of like, kind of like one of those songs that's just talks about, you know, fleeing from the devil and continuing on straight and narrow to Christ.
I was walking there all alone in the forest, but a branch snapped, turned around. Turn from the father of lies.
Well, and again, like, the song's playing in my head right now, and I'm just like, man, I get like chills because the way that you orchestrated it and put it all together is really cool and unique. It's a cool sound, and it's just like, again, man, you are a really great songwriter where you can take all these concepts and not just give really interesting lyrics, but then also give like an interesting song to the message that you have. And so I'm glad you found that and you were able to do something with it.
I don't understand. Like, I was thinking today or yesterday, this morning maybe, I was like, how did I make that song? I literally have no clue how I made that song. I was like, man, why can't I make another one like that? I mean, that happens a lot of times with like a creator. I'm like, man, can I just write another song like that? Like, I listen back to Save Your Tears. I'm like, that is so simple, but why did I, how did that blow up? Like, what? You know, it's just kind of funny sometimes.
Yeah. But, well, and that's interesting too, because from like a music perspective, it's got to be a weird space. Well, even I can imagine that there's some self-doubt where if you write a song that people are like, oh, this song's so unique and cool, that you're part of you in your brain must be like, oh gosh, like, is this it? Like, is it like, mm-hmm. do I have anything left in the tank that's unique? Or am I just
right?
Because it would be, I can imagine the like, because you want to make cool and unique music, which you will continue to do and you have continued to do. But is for you, when you're looking at your music and some of the stuff you write, like, is that sometimes a struggle? Like, I can imagine too, you make a song that you're really proud of, but you don't know how other people are going to react to it, because you can have this confidence in the song and be like, I like this song, but are other people actually going to be interested in this? Is that something that goes through your brain with music, or are you usually pretty confident in what you're writing? You're like, ah, this is great, I don't care.
I mean, oh yeah, it happens all the time. I overthink constantly. It's one of those things as an artist, it's like, as a musician, it's like, oh, that's like one of the struggles. You're comparing yourself to others, and it's like, I'm just trying to like learn how to not compare myself to others, because that's yeah. the best way to go about it. And compare myself not only to others, but to my old songs, you know, that blew up yeah. or did well. And I'm like, and to not go out and write a song with like, you know, hit being in mind, instead yeah. just writing the song and for what it is. And if it means something to me, then maybe it'll mean something to someone else.
Yeah.
You know, and Hypocrite was kind of like one of those. I was like, I'm just not going to focus on other things. I'm just going to try to focus on the song. And then it kind of, yeah, it's doing well because of that. So,
And to me, that makes sense, because like, I think that's why music can sometimes almost feel like it loses its soul and it doesn't have a lot to say. It's because it's being written not from the heart, and the person who sometimes is writing it is so concerned about how other people are going to respond, that I genuinely think that if you keep just writing music that impacts you, that will impact other people. Another song you wrote that I really love is Sign of the Times. And you kind of quote that verse from Jesus where he's essentially telling the Pharisees, he's like, hey guys, you can discern whether it's morning or whether it's evening, but the sign of the times are here and you guys can't discern what's going on around you. For you, why did you kind of want to write a song kind of invoking those words of Jesus? And what was the message you were hoping to get out through that song?
Yeah, that one is definitely one of my favorite songs I've written. And didn't do like super well on the, you know, streams or whatever, but it's still one of my favorites. And I think it was just one of those songs. I was like, man, I've all these thoughts in my head of things that are going on, political things, and you just get really like, you know, why are these things happening? So like I say, you know the song, but it's, I talk about like people who, you know, people say that they're wise, you know, first off, and people say, oh, you know, they think they know the truth, but, and they've went to college for 4 years or whatever. Yeah. They say, you know, you need to open your eyes, you know, that I'm not, you know, I don't know what I'm talking about. But when I did, and I opened my eyes, you know, to the world, it only brought me tears, because the world is disgusting, and it's falling far from God. And truth now in people's eyes is relative to what they think it should be, instead of there is truth. Now there's no truth, you know, in this world. You know, we have truth with Christ. We know that that, you know, Jesus says, I am the truth, the way, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So you know that Christ is the truth, but the world is in lies, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's the hope that we can have. And even more now in this world, because you've seen in the past 5 years, just with the world, the way the world's going, with, you know, political things, with things that shouldn't be political, but that are political,
yeah,
you know, like abortion or other things like that. And, you know, people saying white privilege and all this kind of stuff, yelling out. But I'm like, man, I worked so hard to get here. It's not white privilege. You know, I know so many black people, like my brother-in-law, he's black, and he works so hard, you know, to get where he's at, you know, so yeah. It doesn't matter who you are. You have to work hard, you know, and it's about these races and they're trying to like bring up all these issues just to cause dissension against people, and it works. But we're Christians, and we don't care what you look like. We're all one body. It doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, we're all made in the image of God. So, and just talking about how, you know, those people, you know, how, just to, you know, I was once lazy too. And you say you're oppressed, but look at these scars, you know, you're lazy and depressed, but the devil's got you behind bars. There is a way though, to be free from your mind. You can't earn it or pay it. You just got to find it. You know, that's Jesus Christ. And it says, continue to say, you know, you say to do your best and God will understand. Oh, foolish man, I should have guessed you were sinking in that sand. So a lot of people say, yeah, I think I'm a good person, but you know, the Bible says no one's good but God. You know, I'm not good. You're not good. No one's good but God, you know? Yeah. So we're all sinking in that sand, but there's, you know, Christ. And a lot of people say, oh, they try to put their hope in religion or the state, you know, but God gave a greater gift than that, you know? And then the last line is like, I would have you to flee. You know, there's a hypocrite at hand with his pornography, you know, talking to Christian men that are dealing with that, you know. It's don't be a hypocrite, walk in freedom in Christ, and saying there is still hope for you, because you've been relieved from sin. You were crucified, you know, the day you believed, you know, with Christ, like it says in Romans 6. So that's one of my favorites, just as the writing part goes, you know, it means a lot.
You say that you are wise because you studied for 4 years. You say to open my eyes, but when I did, it only brought me tears. You say I'm a privileged man by the color of my face. But I know a Christian isn't relevant today. You discern the face of the sky, but cannot discern the signs of the times.
It's cool to chat about. I always enjoy chatting to artists about music, but one of the things you always risk is like, is your interpretation of the song actually what they meant? And so even in this song, I was like, I think this is what he's saying, but what if I'm wrong? But it's like, no, I totally got the message. And cool. Well, even my brother and me, it was funny, I chatted about this week about how, because I'm a pastor, and I was like, man, it's so hard because everything is now political. Like our world has like politicized everything, which means that you are just supposed to. And then the hard thing is you are in a culture who thinks that politics and church don't go together. But if everything has become political, it's like I can't talk about anything without it being politics. But I'm not trying to talk about politics. I'm just trying to talk about what scripture talks about. And I use the example of like, if I get on stage and I preach that we should go and feed the homeless and care for the poor and oppressed, I'm like labeled as like, oh, you're a liberal. And then if I get on stage and say, hey, we need to repent from our sin and like these things that are happening are wrong and we need to come back to God, then I'm like painted as a conservative. I'm like, no, I'm just like a Christian. And we've labeled these things as political things when I'm just trying to follow Jesus, man. And it makes it difficult, but
I think
part of it too, that we came to a conclusion was like, we just got to speak the truth and speak it in love. And if people, as we speak it, want to label us as whatever, that's fine. At the end of the day, like we know that we're following Jesus, and no matter who it is or what we're saying, it's like, we can't be afraid of those topics because in the climate, because I'm in Canada, that like so many things that scripture talks about are seen as like a political point, and people are like, you're not supposed to talk about politics in churches. Like, I'm not going to put like a party on the stage and be like, you guys should follow this party. It's like, I'm going to put Jesus on the stage and we're going to follow Jesus. So we're part of a different kingdom. Right. And that's going to affect, in a culture where everything's political, that's going to affect your politics, I guess. But
and that's tough from Canada. I've heard some stories about, you know, pastors and stuff getting arrested and all that crazy stuff. So
yeah, well, there's a, and the thing is, there's always like two, so like one side would look at it and be like, oh, like everybody had these measures that were put on us. So as far as COVID goes, and so you guys, it wasn't really persecution because everybody had those measures on them. And so you guys should have just submitted. And then you've got the other side being like, ah, not everybody had those measures put on them, that there were a lot of things that were allowed to happen, and having a church service outdoors shouldn't be something I'm getting arrested for. And so, yeah, there's a lot of tension in Canada where you can really see that those two sides are, it's so interesting, are like pulling on the church politically and trying to get the church to essentially care more about what people think about them and what political ideology that they're falling under, instead of, is Jesus like, is Jesus looking at me and being like, hey, the way you're living your life, that's the way to do it. Like, you're a good and faithful servant. Or are you more concerned about what other people think about you? And yeah, so Canada's a fun place to be right now. I'll put it that way.
I mean, it's getting bad here too. So it's probably not far behind, but
no,
you know, it's just standing upon the word and following Jesus, whatever that means politically.
Yeah. Well, and it's happened in every culture. So you look at like the early, but the cool thing is you're like, hey, maybe we're on like the brink of like some form of revival or turning back to God, because you look at like the early church, you look at Rome, and when they first started, there was all kinds of persecution and pressure, and it got worse and worse and worse. And then all of a sudden things started to turn because the church decided, hey, we're going to actually follow Jesus. And if that costs us, that costs us. And a lot of people saw that. And in a culture full of darkness, they were drawn to the light, and it turned around, and then it crashed again. And so you just never know where am I in history? Is this thing going to turn around, or is this it? Is it going to get worse? So, yeah. Lastly, I want to talk to you about the song "Come On Love." This song seems like it's one that does really well for you. But it's essentially, it seems to me that it's like calling on, it's almost like Christians calling on other Christians, being like, hey, like, come alongside us. Like, let's follow Jesus together. This song is, again, a song that I think is really well written. But for you, what was the inspiration behind that song, and what kind of, what inspired that for you?
Yeah, that one's one of my favorites as well. I think that one's, I wrote that one when my brother and sister were over to me and my wife's house. And we sat down in the living room and just like, let's write a song. And I started kind of playing those chords, and my brother was like, yeah, he's like, da, 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 come on love. Like, yeah, I was like, okay, let's do it. So we just kind of wrote about exactly what you're saying. It, you know, you got the meaning well, I think. So it's calling, you know, our brothers and sisters, so let's go. Brother, sister, hear my call. Come on, love. You know, need your love to break my fall. You know, come on, love. So just like calling all Christians to come together and unite and not divide over certain, you know, non-important, you know, doctrines, differences, or, you know, all that. And, you know, one of the lines is, abide in him and he in you. You know, come on, love, purchase with no payment due. And then just kind of reminding each other who we are in Christ. And, you know, cause, and it talks about the courses, cause I was screaming in the dark when you came and healed my heart. So it's just remembering, you know, who we were before and how Christ healed us, you know, and it's just like, it's just one of the songs, like, let's press on toward the high calling in Christ Jesus. You know, and Philippians, and just let's do this together. You know, I've been reading all three of the epistles, and just everything, it's like I don't understand how I missed it. It's just, you know, talking to believers, you know, over and over, you know, fellowship with one another, with Christ. And it's just always talking about how you know, exhort one another daily while it's called today, you know, all these scriptures that are just talking about with each other every day. You know, it's like we need each other so bad as believers. So let's come on up. Yeah.
Yeah.
But, it's one of those songs that just kind of came together really well. And my brother and my wife and my sister, actually, if you can hear the last kind of chorus ish part, they all sing on it. And you can hear their, my brother goes some high whistle sounds and all that. Awesome. You can hear the choir kind of effect, and they were doing that. It sounds so good. Find him in he and you. Oh, come on, love. Come on, love. Purchase with no pain in due. Oh, come on, love. Every word you hear is true. Well, come on, love. Come on, love. All the suffering you went through. So come on, love. Come on, love. I've been feeling so.
It's really cool. It's cool how it seems like your family, to a degree, plays like a large part in your music and in your life. And that's really cool to like see the kind of impact that they have on you. And even just the sounding board for some of the ideas or what you're thinking is really unique and really cool. Yeah. Well, lastly, I just wanted to give you an opportunity. So if people are hearing you and they're hearing your music, if they want to support you or they want to help in some way, what's the best way for people to support you as an artist?
Yeah, man, God has really blessed me with just, you know, more than I would think, you know. Mm-hmm. So I'm just so thankful. My wife and I were just thankful for the way he's blessed us, you know, financially, you know, this past year. Because last year last year we got married, and yeah. In July, and I quit my job a week before I got married and just tried to do music full time. And I was busking on the streets. This past winter was so hard. It was so cold on the streets, just playing. My hands were freezing and it was snowing like 2 or 3 days when I was out there. And it was so hard, just trying to make it and provide for my family. But this year is when the music kind of took off and I started making money more in line, and God just really blessed us. So just anyway, is just sharing the music with your family, sharing it with other people. And, you know, honestly, if just more people could hear it, you know, and hear the message and hear that, you know, who they are in Christ, remind themselves who they are. I mean, that's the biggest testimony I think I've heard from my music is people that have kind of backslid. They came back to God because they've heard the music and it just kind of called them out in a way, or, encourage them to go back to the Lord and just listen to it, share it with other people who need it, you know?
And I want to encourage everybody that if you're liking the music or Jimmy, that you would go and support. And the best way to do it is to share. And then also, if you feel like it, to actually purchase the music, because as great as Spotify and Apple Music and streaming is for getting artists out there, you get like a fraction of a penny back for a listen. So if you really feel like supporting, I want to encourage you to do it, because I want Jimmy to keep making music and I want his family to be fed. So so go ahead. So do that. Hey, Jimmy, thank you so much for doing this, man. This has been a blast. I can't wait to see where you go next, because I know that, yeah, if you keep just passionately making music and making songs you care about and keep making stuff like you've been making, I'm like, man, this is the beginning of something that I think will be really cool and a cool ministry for you. So thank you for doing it, and thank you for being on this show. It's been awesome.
It has been a pleasure, man. I really enjoyed it. It's been encouraging, so thank you.